I feel like ego just takes way too much precedence over success. You'd rather look like the guy that's doing well or feel like the guy, even convince yourself you're the guy. I looked at it and said, hey, I'm 30, I gotta make a paycheck, and I don't wanna be like that guy down the street.
Hey fighters, check it out. Today's guest is Jeremy Heslink. He is actually one of the very first contractors that I ever coached. And he gave me an update a few months back of where his business is at, and it's pretty impressive. He's actually in his first 5.5 years or so of business, he is in the top 1% of all income earners in the country, in the United States. Okay, personal income, he's crushing it, all right? What's even better than that, or pretty close to being that cool, is that he only works 8 to 5 every day. He goes to the office at 8, he shuts his phone off at 5, he's spending time with his young kids, and so we just talk about some of these milestones and some of the things that he's learned and the concepts that he's applied over the past 5.5 or so years as a business owner, and so I'm super excited to just let you guys tune into this and hear this conversation with my good buddy Jeremy Heslink of Harmonic HVAC outside of Chicago. So here's my good buddy, Jeremy. Jeremy, what's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing, Tom? I'm good.
I'm doing great. I'm fired up that you're here. You live way outside of Chicago and back in my old stomping grounds. And we hung out a little bit before I moved out here to Colorado in 2015. But man, appreciate you carving out the time. I know you got a pretty cool story. You've had a lot of success in just the first few years of business, which is pretty uncommon. Most guys are trying to figure out how to eat, and you seem to got something figured out here. And so I thought it'd be a really cool conversation to have here. But give us a little history about you, your business. How'd you get in the trade and all that stuff, man?
Little history. HVAC is kind of our main forte as far as the trades go, but I like to think that we cover other service trades as well as we're growing the business. But it was a fallback career for me. I honestly wanted to be a teacher, funny enough. Back in that era, I think when I was in high school, there was a need for teachers. So they were kind of pumping it out, and I always just enjoyed the classroom aspect. Loved being a student. Like, if I could just go to school professionally and somehow get paid, that would be awesome. But was waiting tables and working at an auto body shop and just kind of doing whatever while getting my gen eds out of the way through a local college. Somebody mentioned, yeah, you better have a fallback career. You better have a fallback career. And I didn't like the auto side of things. And local to people in Chicagoland will know, and maybe abroad too, Man Cow in the Morning was a big part of the Q101 on the morning. And he was always pumping out cheesy commercials for an HVAC trade school. So I thought, you know what? That sounds neat. We'll give it a try. And kind of the rest is history. Like, just got my hands in the on the stuff in the class and loved every minute of it. So became my full career.
So if I recall, you worked how many years for another guy before you opened up your own company?
Yeah. It was solid 10 years of, we'll say 10 plus of just, mainstay at was one company, a good healthy company for what it's worth for the 10 of that.
And what'd you do there?
A little bit of everything. I mean, started out green. So, I went from breaking a lot of stuff and crashing trucks to running the service department. And I had a small crew underneath me. It was just before I decided to move out on my own.
What was it that prompted you to take that leap? And I'd like you to share a little bit about that, because I get a lot of messages from guys and even see a lot of guys in our private Facebook group, the Contractor Fight, that are like, hey, they're owning their crap, and some of their crap is they're too chicken to take the leap, you know? And I'm just curious, like, did you ever have any reservations about doing it? How'd you get through any of that if you did?
Sure. Well, see, as far as, you know, I didn't just make the leap, to be quite honest. I got to that point that I feel like every contractor gets to where, you just, whether it's right or wrong, you feel like I can do this better than this guy. Mm-hmm. I always kind of likened my story to being a teenager moving out of the house. You know, mom and dad are wrong. Mom and dad are stupid. Like, I've got it all figured out. And then if you fast forward 20 years later, or whatever, when you start having kids and you have a mortgage and all the stresses, you start to see life through their eyes. Like, okay, maybe they were still wrong, but I can appreciate what they were going through, or holy cow, this is hard. They had it spot on. I can't even touch what they were doing. It was kind of like that, that same feeling of just, these guys are yahoos. They don't know how to run a business. They're not doing it, you know, the way I think they should be doing it. You know, just kind of selfishly wanted more. Nothing wrong with that. But I was a chicken shit just like everybody else. I just went to where I thought the grass was greener. I actually got sought out from a larger, more national company, and got promised the world to come over there with my experience, my age, and my drive. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, I said, man, this lawn's got more weeds than I ever anticipated. And I think I was there for about 3-4 weeks. I kind of looked around, thought I just got done fighting what I felt like was an uphill battle for 10 years. And that was a hill. This is a mountain. I am not going through this again. So I was 30, did just have my firstborn, and just kind of thought, if I don't do this now, I never will. I've got energy. I've got a reason to stay, to bring food on the table. But I think it was, might've been you, or just, it's all kind of muddy in that time. But I think one of the reassuring things that I had heard was, hey man, if you're skilled and you're motivated, which is going to be, I guess you would call an FW. So you're going to be highly sought out with, from anybody. Worst case scenario is, if it doesn't work out, let's just go get another job.
Right.
And when I kind of just realized that simple truth, it really made it easy to just give it a shot. It was the next 2 months that was more eye-opening than the quitting part, though.
Well, that's funny, because I remember getting a voicemail from you. The first time I ever heard your name, you know, was on a voicemail that you left me. And basically, you said, hey, I'm, you know, looking into getting some coaching or whatever. You know, I just started my business, and I called you back. And one of the things you said to me is, you said, I've been in this trade for a while, and I've seen a lot of guys do it wrong, and I wanted to I want to start this thing right and get help from day one. I will never forget that, because, dude, you're like the only guy in hundreds and hundreds of guys that has ever said that to me, and it just totally stood out. I'm just curious, what was it that you saw in others that made you want to get help from day one to start your business?
It was both. It was seeing it from others, but just, I don't know, being real. You know, like you said, there's guys that own their craft, but I mean, that's a big part of it, is just, I don't know what it is with us trades guys. I mean, I guess it is the rest of the world, but I feel like ego just takes way too much precedence over success. You'd rather look like the guy that's doing well, or feel like the guy, even convince yourself you're the guy. And I looked at it and said, hey, I'm 30. I got to make a paycheck, and I don't want to be like that guy down the street. So, which is the one man show that's 40. He's starting to wear down a little bit. I mean, not to say 40 isn't as strong, but, cause I'm getting close to there now myself, but I know I'm more tired than I used to be. Shoot. I was real tired with just having the kid at the time, but, yeah, it was just realizing that I'm really good at this trade, but I have no idea what I'm doing to run a business. And, I feel very fortunate that I found a guy like you, because come to find out after hiring you that there are a lot of business quote unquote business coaches out there too. And there's a lot of garbage ones on, you know, just like any industry. So thank you for being the right guy at the right time for sure. And, but yeah, man, it was just more about, don't know what the hell I'm doing pretty much. Can you give me some direction? Otherwise I'm going to probably waste a lot of time and money, trying to figure it all out. And let's get on it. You know, let's get profitable right away. It was kind of my thing.
Well, dude, I appreciate that, man. And it was, I had a blast working with you because you actually did the work. So, like, you implemented stuff. You know, you could go to your golf coach all you want, right? But if you don't correct your swing, you're still going to suck at golf. And so what were some of the concepts early on that you, I mean, what was this, 2013, something like that, right?
Yeah, 2013.
I think it was 2013, right? It's fall of 2013, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Right. That's when we started. So opened our doors October 1st, officially. I called you in mid-November.
Yep.
I got 6 weeks in. I burned through all my word-of-mouth leads, and I went, oh, what the hell am I going to do?
All right, so looking back, let's do this first. Give just a... whatever you want to give here. You sent me an email a while back saying you just had your 5-year anniversary. You sent it late in 2018. Yeah. What are some of the milestones, you know, just for people listening to be able to see what you've been able to accomplish in the last 5 years?
Yeah, not a problem. And this comes from a point of humility. There is some self-confidence in achieving my goals. My wife is a constant, constantly reminds me to live in the present and appreciate what you've done, not just check off the box and then go towards the next thing. Mm-hmm. That's almost a chronic issue I have. But so I was really proud that we hit $1 million in revenue. You know, now if anyone's a student of the Tom Weaver School of Thought, that doesn't mean jack crap if you're not profitable. And I totally agree with that. But it is a nice milestone. I mean, in terms of marketing and leads and just how much you have to do to achieve, to earn that type of money. I'm not building houses here. Keep in mind, we're a service-based HVAC company. So we're dealing with a lot of $100, $200 service calls. And to hit $1 million is just it's a crazy number of little stops. So highly organized, high organization. But we also, we started, so that number was a little bit of a fib, just in a way that, we did hit over, well over $1 million for the HVAC side for 2018. So, but, at that October mark, I had also started a second service company in 2018, just really emulating all the stuff. Hey, we think we have a really good blueprint. Let's do this again with, we started the handyman electrician business. And that's been going fantastic, knowing what we learned on the original model. So with those two companies combined, we were over $1 million in the 5-year mark. But more importantly, our gross profit, for those of you who are good with your business math, we were over the 40% mark, which is fantastic in the trades. And then more importantly, we were over the 20% mark in net. I think that's huge. All the while, again, adopting the Tom Weaver School of Thought, paying myself a salary at the first, I think since I started with you, I pay myself, the first of every month, not the last, not the 31st, the first of every month. Cause, daddy needs to get paid if he wants to show up to work, you know? So pay myself the first of every month with my salary. So the rest of that net is just gravy to be smart with and to continue to grow the business. And then also what I wanted to share was I'm not killing myself. You know, I'm not working 80 hours a week trying to manage two companies, one just getting started and one in adolescence. I turn my phone off at 5 o'clock. I start at 8. I turn it off at 5. We've got that icky word. I'm more the Neil Christensen of the pack. I like systems. I know mm-hmm. Tom doesn't like systems.
Oh, I love them. I'm just not good at doing them. Yeah. So that's why I've had a strong team.
Yeah, so but it was all those intangibles. Like, yeah, the numbers are great, but I've got a great healthy lifestyle. I show up at 8. I'm done by 5. I don't work on the weekends. My family comes first. My kids just started, you know, elementary school. So if wife wants to volunteer and help out in the classroom that day, I get to take a half day and spend it with my daughter at home. And, you know, we just, all those great things that come with the freedom of being a business owner, knowing that your systems or your people will run things while you're gone. Taking up personal hobbies. So I know we talked a little bit about it, but trying my hat at, you know, playing a little Iron Maiden on the guitar once in a while.
Yeah. So for those, before we hit record here today, Jeremy was sharing, I asked him if he's gone to see the band Muse lately, cause he's a big Muse fan. And he said, no, but I've been to all this 70s and 80s heavy metal, man. He said you were born in the wrong era.
Yeah, that's great music.
Have you been around here long now?
Yeah, no, I don't know about that. you might find me wearing a Slash wig from time to time.
All right, there you go. You look at that. So, well, you know, the thing that I'm most happy for you with is, you know, this is your private stuff, so I'm not going to say it here, but like you are a top 1% income earner personally in the United States. Okay. And I want that to sink in, and you're working 8 to 5. Like you show up at 8, like you just said, and you shut your phone off at 5. And so what, other than paying yourself in the first of the month, what were some of the other things, some other concepts that you've implemented over the last few years to help you get here?
Oh, good question. Definitely it was, I don't know if I had to take it in steps. One was just being disciplined with the finance, knowing business math was probably the biggest, best thing that we started right out of the gate on understanding how the numbers drive the business, support the business, fuel the business, and then where the numbers have to be in order to get to those next steps of buying trucks, hiring employees, spending money on marketing. So I would say first and foremost, it was just really understanding how the numbers work. You could probably be bad at just about everything else, but I'm not, or if you're really bad at the numbers, make sure you hire somebody who is really good at it. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those old schools of thought, just, hire what you're bad at or don't like to do. But, if you're not in it for the numbers, I would ask, why are you doing in business? You know, that's what business is at the end of the day. Nothing but so that are the numbers. So implementation would be just knowing that. I would say just going back to that ego thing, you know, kind of getting right at home. Like what do I need as a, you know, individual? What does my family need? And where do we want to go as a family? And then letting the business facilitate that, but not like drive it. So we set our goals, and then when the profit was coming in on top of it, it was being smart with that profit. It wasn't buying a new truck. I can tell you an HVAC pickup trucks are the biggest waste of money ever, but I can't tell you, I'd say probably 9 out of 10 business owners in town have a $50,000-$60,000 pickup truck.
Right.
That they'll never use because it's not actually getting them any work. It's a status symbol. You know, don't go buy that big new house right away because you have a good year. Maybe plan, get a 3-5 year plan going, something like that. So that was just being a good steward of our money. Other than the numbers and just being really smart with the money, I would say the rest was about grooming, putting systems in place, like a healthy balance of systems, operation, and business development. Well, I guess I'm sorry. Business operations, marketing, and then just employees, probably. But taking that FW concept and really grooming my team, getting rid of the bad guys and bringing in the winners. And those three things, I would say. I only got 5 years, so I wish the list was longer. those simple three things is kind of all you need, I feel like, you know.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think if you go, okay, the next 5 years that worked, let's repeat it. Right. And
yeah.
You know, just why reinvent the wheel? So Earlier, you talked about when you first started your business, your word of mouth leads dried up really quickly within the first 6 or so weeks. And I'm just curious, what have you what approach have you taken on the marketing front? What could you maybe share with the guy listening to this who's struggling to get the phone to ring and stuff? What are some things that have just been consistent winners for you?
Yeah, for me, it wasn't being idle waiting for the phone to ring. It was, if I'm not working turning a wrench today, I need to be prospecting in some way, shape, or form. So whether that was going to a, you want to talk about gives me chills, a leads group.
Yeah.
I say that, but I never would have met you if it wasn't for the leads group. So, I mean, you know, they have their place, I suppose. But, you know, instead of sitting around drinking coffee, just kind of tinkering on the computer, it was getting out there, shaking hands, saying hi. And then, so I think it was weird. My first like five or six months was very little actual work, but I just started like, here's my schedule. I'm going to wake up at this time. I'm going to be out the door at a leads group or a chamber event or a ribbon cutting of some sort. I'm going to then stop by at the suppliers and talk to my sales guys that are offered through my industry, get training, whatever, in the middle of the day. And then I want to end the last few hours of my day working on either, whether it be trolling on social media or creating blog posts on my website, mm-hmm. and then linking them to my social media, just doing something, whether it's bringing actual dollars in or not. I was staying in that, like, that discipline of I need to be marketing in some way, some form or fashion. And then it's amazing. I think, gosh, after kind of getting in that rhythm of prospecting and checking my numbers and planning, it wasn't very long, 7-8 months, which sounds long when you're not getting a paycheck. But and when the phone, call it magic. It just started working. So.
Well, sometimes I try to point things out in case somebody missed the point of what you just said here. And the point is you did everything you could to create momentum. You know, you didn't sit back and wait. And I'm a firm believer of, I mean, like almost everything you shared there was about being visible in your local community, your service area, so that, you know, it's about who knows you, not who you know, but who knows Jeremy. You know, and then I think you combine that with, dude, you've always done everything first rate, like, you know, Harmonic as your brand and your vehicles and your image and the way you would show up. You're not the typical contractor. And so I think when you're showing up and you're introducing yourself and you're handing out cards and you're creating that momentum, you're backing it up that, hey, we're the real deal. We're not some schmuck. And I think, you know, that sends a message to people as well that, like, hey, yeah, this guy, you know, he has his shit together. And you just kept doing it. You just kept hitting that rock over and over and over. You know, and I just love how, yes, you've done a lot of things online and things like that, but you shook a lot of hands, you know,
yeah,
built a lot of relationships. And I think that's where, the very first thing you said here when I asked you the marketing question was, if I'm not turning a wrench, this is what I'm doing. Like, you had a plan. And that's huge, is having that plan. Hey, listen, if you were a home improvement contractor doing $750,000 or more in sales, you know that there are so many demands on your time. And here's one thing I've learned working with companies, you know, at that revenue mark all the way up to $50-60 million companies, is as you want to grow and scale your business, one of the greatest things that you could do is truly learn how to use your energy, how to use your time, how to find that one nail that you need to be hitting in on a regular basis in order to help your company get to that next level. And so I want to share with you real quick about my One Nail program. Listen, One Nail is a high performance implementation group for those who are already winning in their business. This is not for somebody who's already broke or who's broke, who can't get the phone to ring, who's struggling to eat. It's for those contractors who want to move faster towards greater success without all the typical bullshit, okay? It is for action takers. In fact, consistent implementation is a requirement to stay in the program. And listen, in this program, we're gonna show you how to take the right action, and we're gonna guarantee your results, or we actually refund your money, okay, at the end of the program. So we're gonna cover leadership, rapid growth for your business, systems, marketing, things like that, because at the end of the day, if you are not truly focused on the things that matter most in your business, you're gonna continue to wake up year in and year out in the same place. So go ahead and go to thecontractorfight.com/1-nail. Contractorfight.com/1-nail, and hit the link, fill the thing out, and see if you apply. We'll get on the phone. We'll have a great conversation. Have a great day. You guys rock. So dude, let me ask you this. Looking back, are there any things that really jump out at you like, ooh, I would do that over?
Yeah, I would say I probably, the one just more of a personal thing, and I don't know if anybody's in this boat. I don't know if this helps anybody, but this is therapy for me.
All right, man. We'll take it.
I thought I would be, let's call it being over conservative. So if you don't have the money to do something, maybe either not doing it at all or half-assed trying to do it yourself. And I can say I probably wasted hundreds and hundreds of hours trying to like tinker and build my own website, mm-hmm. instead of just like sucking it up and writing a check for a couple $1,000. I think like, how much further along would I be now if I wasn't that urchin in his office punching up on the website, trying to save a few $100 a scratch, where I could be shaking hands and earning a few $1,000 worth of jobs and letting somebody who's way better than I am build a website. That was a big one. But I guess the idea there being like, you know, there's always an excuse, very little times that there are a reason to not do something marketing. Like if you need new uniforms for your company, oh, well, we're fine. Just something so silly like that. There was just those dumb excuses, that head trash that you always talk about, yeah, that keeps you from doing it when really there's not really a good reason. Never have I had buyer's remorse. If I did my research and we did something and it was smart, systems-based, marketing-based types things, rarely do I have buyer's remorse after seeing the results today for any of those early decisions of spending an extra few $100 on the website or a uniform or a Facebook ad. It just always seems to pay dividends. But here I am still to this day, it seems like I want to find excuses just to hang on to, you know, a few extra pennies. So I don't know if that's a problem for guys, but it seems, you know.
Oh, I think it's huge.
Open up the wallet.
I think it's two things. I think it's our ego, and then I think it's our you know, sometimes the financial part of it. You know, it's so it's a little of both. I mean, it's funny. I'm doing my own research right now for my own company on Facebook ads. Okay, I do very little of them, and it's funny because I initially am very quick to go, I don't know how to do this, let's hire somebody. Problem is I've hired 3 Facebook ads companies that have totally, plug your ears if you have little ones, because I'm really pissed about this. They fucking sucked, okay? Like, they absolutely fucking sucked. And so I'm like, all right, motherfuckers, I'm, like, can you tell I'm getting pissed? Like, I'm going to figure this shit out on my own now. And so, yeah. So, you know, because I'm, I don't know. Anyway, so I literally, in fact, this morning, I got up super early this morning because I was doing some reading and some studying and some things like that. Well, then the other thing that pisses me off, this is just makes the case why I shouldn't do this. I just need to keep interviewing companies that can back their shit up, is then you go into the Facebook back end, right? And that's a whole clusterfuck. Like, oh, that's, man, just, yeah, you know, and I call, oh man, this is funny. Last week, this has nothing to do with our call here today, other than, well, no, it does, because it has everything to do with what you just said, like, get out of your own way, right? Get out of your own way, hire somebody. So I schedule, you know, you get those notifications on your business page, like, hey, schedule a call with a Facebook ads expert. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll grab a half an hour, 15 minute call with this dude. And like, and I type to the thing, hey, I just kind of want to unmess the back end of my Facebook right now, because I know it's just really confusing me. I just want to understand it. And let's just say it didn't end well. So, because I was in a bad mood. So, because it's an administrative thing that I'm doing. And you know me, whenever I'm doing like heavy loads of administrative shit, my blood pressure, which is already high, goes up higher. I get mean and I'm just a dick. And so I ended up, we're like 10 minutes into this call and I go, dude, he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. I've just been a dick for the last 10 minutes. And I said, we should probably just not even have this call. So anyway, way more info than I plan on sharing here. But the whole point here, I'm piggybacking on so many of us, you know, this is what it's like. You're good. You and your company is good at installing the thing or fixing the thing or building the thing. And we get annoyed when, you know, a customer tries to do it themselves because we know they're going to end up frustrated. You know, we know they're not going to do it right. It might not be safe. It's going to be more headaches than it's worth. I mean, dude, I remember this one guy trying to paint his own house, and it was like a 48-hour job, you know, like, what's that, three guys for 2 days of work, right? And it took him 9 months to paint it. It was this homeowner trying to do it on his own. And he was stressed for freaking 3/4 of a year. And we look at homeowners and customers and go, man, they should just, you know, spend the extra money and hire a pro and get it done. We get pissed, but then we turn around and we try to do our own shit, which is stupid.
Yeah. It's that same thing. Well, your time is money, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's understanding that very simple piece of the business. And, I hate to say it, but I'm getting to the point now where I hate running ticky-tack service calls because I look at everything on my desk of I've got a $20,000 bid. I've got a, you know, a meeting with so-and-so about, you know, new real estate for our second shop and all this stuff. And then if we'll be tied, my secretary, she's like, hey, Jeremy, can you just swing by and take a look at something real quick? It's only going to take a couple hours out of your day. And you just get to that point where you're like, no, you know, something I did want to say though that you had mentioned is if I could speak to everybody else starting out that about like looking at your systems and if you are identifying things that Tom is saying that, yeah, I do need to do that. I don't know how to get there. It can seem really overwhelming. I think Tom and the marketing and all the meeting stuff, it's got so much wealth. You almost feel like I'm just never going to get there. The truth is, yeah, you're not going to get there overnight. We're still working on stuff. I think from my original books you gave me 5 years ago, of like, okay, now we got to get to this aspect of the business. It is an absolute marathon of managing assets and things like that. But as long as you keep, like you said, hitting the nail on the head or, you know, hitting that rock, it does start to break. It does start to go. It's just about continually hitting it, not having it done and completed in a box to check. So, sorry. That's, I just wanted to throw it out there before I forgot it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, as your business grows, it's more important for you to understand what your right nail to hit in each time is because you have many options. You got to hit in the high value nails. You know, there was a guy that I coached years ago who he hired me. He was at around 750, 780 in revenue. And within a year he was 1.7. And within the third year that we worked together, or second year, I guess, whatever it was, he was 3.8. And each year we subtracted from him. Like that was that, without getting crazier, the overall strategy was to subtract shit that he needed to be responsible for in his business. And he only
spent
time on the high dollar activities that he was the best at. We helped him find his sweet spot in his time. And it's funny, you talk about, you know, these maintenance calls or whatever you got to go on versus the $20,000 project sitting on your deck. that's kind of what we're talking about. Like anything that was under a certain man hour or dollar amount, he didn't touch it in his business. He only went after the whales and those big relationships that would, you know, produce that mailbox money, right? You know, you sell it once and it keeps coming over and over and over and things like that. So, you know, growing your business is not, it's often not about all the things I have to do. It's what are the right one or two things that I really, you know, that are crucial. And then all the other stuff either gets dumped or delegated.
Yeah.
And,
You can say that about getting started too, though. I mean, how many times you're looking at your schedule, you might be a little bit on the light side and you say yes to that job that you probably would say no if you were busy. Mm-hmm. So same thing. If you want to ask for some of the things I would have done differently, hindsight's always 20/20. There's plenty of projects I'd wish I had said no to, and just instead of doing that crap job that ended up costing me money or breaking even on you, how many leads or prospects did I miss because I took my day doing that job I should have said no to?
Right. So. But you know what you got in return, right?
Experience.
That's right. You got wisdom, brother.
Wisdom, yeah. Gray hair.
You know, that some lessons you just don't learn until you get punched in the face a little bit, you know, so it's, but well, dude, if somebody is, in that Oswego, Yorkville, Aurora, Geneva, St. Charles, Montgomery, Illinois area, and they're listening to this and they're like, man, this is the type of dude that I want to work for, or maybe it's a builder that's listening, or, you know, some other great relationship, you know, for you. How do they find you? How do you want them reaching out to you?
Yeah, I mean, we got our Facebook page is always fine. You know, Harmonic Heating and Air Conditioning, or I got Harmonic Home Services. You can always email me. That's not a problem if you guys got questions. My general box that I kind of sort through is info@harmonichvac.com. But beyond that, that'd be about it. So,
well, that's good stuff, buddy. Well, man, I'm super proud of you. Super happy, for what you got going. And I look forward to seeing you, keep jamming out over the next 5 years and beyond, and really, bring to fruition the business that I know that you, set out to build, man.
Thanks so much, Tom. And thanks for your involvement in it too. And thanks for doing it for a bunch of other guys, because the contractor world definitely needs a time reliever. So.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And with that, hit Jeremy's links if you want to connect with him. And Travis, bring in the guitars, rock us out. And we will talk to all of you next time on the Contractor Fight.